The Old Testament reading for our celebration of Palm Sunday comes from the prophet Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. And this is the word of the Lord. Christ entered once for all into the holy places by means of his own blood. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant. He sent redemption to his people. The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the 2nd chapter. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Addison, Emily, Isaac, brothers and sisters in Christ, today is a very big day. There's an awful lot going on here today, isn't there? We have the Sunday school students waving palms and singing special songs. We have you three sitting up here wearing your clean white robes, which I know you love very, very much. We have all sorts of friends and family with us today, some of whom have traveled a great distance. Today, as we celebrate Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, as we receive his true body and blood in the Lord's Supper, we also celebrate your confirmation. And it's good for us to celebrate this. You have worked hard, not just in catechism classes over the last 4 years, but you've been learning and studying the truth of God's Word your whole life. You've invested hours in the classroom and in studying at home. You've developed discipline to come to church even when it would be much easier to just stay home and sleep in. You've grown to understand far better what church is and how much of a blessing it is in your life. And now soon, you will stand before this congregation and before God Himself, and you will profess and confirm the faith that God has given to you, telling the world that you are prepared to suffer all things, even death itself, before turning away from God's precious gifts of forgiveness and everlasting life. And for that, we celebrate. We rejoice. We dress up. We take lots and lots of pictures. We throw feasts. We share our joy with all those around us. Today is a fantastic day. It is a special day. It is a day to remember. And yet, this is not the most important day. The thrill of Confirmation Sunday, the thrill of Palm Sunday itself, it may be fun, it may be exciting, it may be big and splashy, and kind of the thing that we look back on and remember. But it's not the most important thing. Palm Sunday is a day when many churches have special celebrations, processions with palms, children singing. Some even bring in live animals to join the festivities. Our janitor vetoed that idea. It is one of the most festive Sundays of the church year as we look back on Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. It was thrilling for the disciples to walk along with Jesus on that day. The crowds were shouting their praise, singing out, welcoming them like heroes. The palm branches and jackets that they spread on the road said, "We are not worthy to have you even touch the dust of our streets because you are so much better than any of us." It was a ticker tape parade welcoming Jesus and his disciples into Jerusalem with honor and glory and power and might. There was the seemingly universal agreement that Jesus was the Messiah. This was the guy they had been waiting for, and this was the moment that they had all been awaiting. This was big, and they were going to celebrate it. It was going to be fantastic. But this was not what it was all about. This wasn't what Jesus had come for. The parades, the shouts of glory, the cries of Hosanna. After the crowd had dispersed, after the donkey had been returned, after all the hoopla had come to an end, there was still plenty more to be done. In fact, there was far more important work to be done after all of that was over. And that work, it was not nearly as glamorous or as flashy. It was not nearly as well celebrated. It was not something that they would look back upon and say, "Oh yeah, those were the good days." For you as well. For all the pomp and circumstance of today, we too have to remember that confirmation is neither the end nor even the high point of our Christian education. It is thrilling to sit here today or to look back on our own confirmation for those of us who have been confirmed. Friends and family have gathered from far away. You get lots of well wishes. There are gifts and cards and handshakes. And cake. So much cake. And there's going to be punch and your favorite foods. And you probably got to pick the menu. And your parents asked you, "What would you like to have?" And anything you said goes. Today is a great day of celebration. And rightly so. As we celebrate your entrance into communicant membership of this congregation. But this is not what it's all about. After all the company has left, after all the pictures have been taken, all the gifts are opened, the robes returned, there's still far more to be done. And in fact, that's far more important work that you still have to do. And that work, it's not nearly as glamorous or as thrilling. It's not going to be what you look back upon and go, "Oh yeah, that was a good day." Because after all the celebrating and the festivities, for us and for Jesus, we must journey on into the darkness of the world. For Jesus and the disciples, that meant after the celebration and fanfare of Palm Sunday, they had to journey to the cross. As we heard last week, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom. That was the work of the Messiah. It wasn't about the parades. It wasn't about the cheers. It wasn't about everybody giving him worship and honor and glory. It was about him giving his life. And so to do that, he and his disciples had to leave behind the adoring crowds. The crowds that today are shouting, "Hosanna in the highest," in just a few days they will be shouting, "Crucify him." The disciples who walk in this parade with Jesus soaking up the accolades, they will soon flee in terror and abandon their Messiah and friend as Jesus is arrested in the garden. The regal pomp of the donkey and the spread robes on the road, they will be replaced with the mockery of the soldiers and Jesus being led in chains. The joy of Palm Sunday will very quickly turn to the agony, the suffering, the sorrow, and the terror of the cross. This is what Jesus came to do. And as painful as it may have been to leave behind the adoring crowds and to walk to the darkness of Golgotha, Jesus knew the importance of his work. And he lovingly, resolutely set about doing it, despite the great personal cost. Had he not, we would still be lost in our sins, separated from God for all eternity, because we deserve only his wrath and his condemnation by our sin. But Jesus resolutely walked away from the cheers and the celebrations to lay down his life for you, to give himself as the perfect, sinless sacrifice on your behalf, to suffer and die in your place so that you can be forgiven of all of your sin. The cheers of Palm Sunday, they were not the most important thing for Jesus. So he turned his back on the crowds and continued his journey to the cross to suffer and die in order to redeem his sinful creation. And we too, we have a journey to make away from the joy of this Sunday. Our journey is not like Jesus's, because we could never do what he did. But we too are called to bear our crosses as we live out our faith and point others to the cross of Jesus Christ. We too must journey into life and leave behind the comfort and the accolades of the church. It's now time to take what you have learned in the classroom and put it into action in your life. It's very easy to say Hosanna to the Son of David when the crowds are cheering right along with you. Here in church, in your catechism classes, confessing your faith is a breeze. Youth gatherings, Christian summer camps, in those friendly confines, it is very easy to promise that you would suffer all things, even death, rather than turn away from the Christian faith. The disciples did that. When things were going well, they were like, "Absolutely, Lord, we would never leave you." And then the pressure came. It's much harder when the crowds are shouting, "Crucify him." In the halls of school, in your classes, as teachers and students dogmatically proclaim evolution, atheism, self-centered hedonism, among your friends who want you to do very unchristian things along with them. And it's not just our newest members, of course, who face these challenges. Every single one of us, we have our faith attacked constantly, at work, at home, among friends, by family, by the whole world around us. Your life is not the safety and comfort of confirmation class and the divine service. Your life is filled with temptation. Many of them you face on a daily basis. Many of them are things yet to come. Many are going to come at times when you are not prepared, from people and things that you never would have expected. Life outside the walls of the church is hostile to Christians. Your resolution will be put to the test. Your vows that you make today will be challenged. Not just by huge challenges of somebody getting in your face with a gun and say, "Recant or die." Sometimes, like Peter, it's a servant girl. The small, sly voice that says, "Aren't you one of those Christians?" that makes you crumble and deny your faith completely. This is the journey that every Christian must make. We will have moments of joy and triumph like the celebration of that first Palm Sunday. But we will also face times of darkness, uncertainty, temptation, and fear. There will be times when we wonder if we can even continue on. And if we look to ourselves for strength, the answer will be no, we cannot. That's why we don't look to ourselves for strength. In your confirmation today, you enter into the church as active communicant members. And one of the greatest blessings of the church is the fellowship and community that God gives us through it. You have a host of fellow believers who can help you, guide you, walk with you through the temptations and perils of life. We've been there. We've gone through the same things that you will. And we are able to give so much support and advice. And it's not even just members of Trinity. In your confirmation, you confirm that bond that you have with the whole Christian church all throughout the world, all throughout all of history. Give thanks for the fellowship and the community that you have in the church, wherever life may take you. But the real blessing, the real strength of the church, is not just in its members, but in its Lord. For all of the individual strengths and experiences that we can offer you, we are still fallen sinners, imperfect and broken. And so we all look to the one who is stronger than all things, even death itself. We look to Jesus Christ, and there we find our true strength. In times of deepest darkness, we do not focus on the despair and the tragedy around us. We look to the cross of Jesus Christ. We look forward to the joy that we know awaits us. As we walk the dark road to the cross, we know the joy that is just around the corner at Easter. We know what joy Resurrection Sunday will bring to us. The disciples, in all their fear, they may well have forgotten all the times that Jesus told them so clearly that he would rise again on the third day. They may have forgotten, but Jesus never forgot about them. When he rose, he came not in anger and bitterness to chide them, but he came to give them peace and comfort. In the joy of Easter, the pain of Good Friday was forgotten as the triumphant Jesus Christ proclaimed his victory to all. In our own lives, we know that the joy of Easter is for all eternity. As we face difficulties, trials, and challenges to our faith here in this world of sin, we too may sometimes lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ has promised to be with us, that he promises us the eternal victory in the end. But he never forgets, and he never leaves us or forsakes us. He is with us always, just as he promises. Through our baptism, the daily washing of regeneration that takes away our sin. Through his holy word, which builds us up, strengthens our faith, prepares us for the challenges that are sure to come. Through his very body and blood, given and shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. These are the eternal gifts given to us by God that will never leave us. And this is what carries us through everything. Today is a day of great celebration for each of our confirmands and for every single one of us. But sadly, we know that our celebration will not last forever. And as we go back into the world, we will face trials and hardships. We know that our faith will be challenged at every turn. We know that not every day of our Christian life will be a day of cheers and joy and parades. But knowing this does not stop our celebration. We stand today and we shout our adoration to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even as we know the darkness that is in our future. We sing his praises at all times, for we know that he is the victorious King, the one who conquers sin, death, and the devil for us. And when the celebration seems to end, when it seems that we have no reason whatsoever to rejoice, we keep our eyes fixed upon the future, upon the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross where he won the victory. We look past the pain of the cross to the joy of the empty tomb. We look past the horrors of our life to the glorious return of our Lord. We look beyond the sinful valley of tears to the eternal paradise of heaven, even as we know God himself is with us always. For our Lord has died for us. He has freed us from all of our sin. He has cleansed us of all our wrongdoing. By his stripes we are healed, and by his sacrifice we are made his beloved children. He has forgiven us all of our sin. He has opened the gates of heaven to all those who believe. And so it is with great joy that we shout, in times of celebration and in times of trial, now and forever. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. For by the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.